lost internet connection.
You did what on your radio show? I'm sorry.
I lost internet connection.
Oh no.
I'm wired in with a landline for the voice, but to handle the switchboard, I have to be online, and it was not.
Oh yes, yeah. So that's the way this is too. Well, this is Lisa Manning from EncouragingWomen.com, and I just want to thank you so much, Marla, for being a part of our call. And for those of you who are not familiar with Marla, she runs one of the best websites ever, and that is FlyLady.net. And the reason for this call is because I was feeling like I was spiraling a little bit out of control. And so I remembered, oh, I got to go back to the Fly Lady and get some tips and get back in regimen again because I've lost it. So I got online and started looking through some stuff and then emailed and thought, you know, I know if I'm struggling, there's probably a lot of other people on Encouraging Women that are struggling who could stand to use this call. So first question I'll ask you is, how in the world did this ever get started? Is this a organization that's something that you're naturally gifted at and it just kind of mushroomed, or were you trying to organize something for yourself and figure it all out, or how did you get started on this?
None of the above.
Okay.
I am as disorganized and struggle with keeping house just like most everybody else. How many people do you know that have a clean house? I know my sister and my grandmother did, and other than that, it was hard to put more than two people on one hand. So that's a lot of people that are disorganized. So I tried to figure out one New Year's Day. I made the New Year's resolution to get organized, and I tried to figure out why I wasn't. My sister was born organized. My grandmother was born organized. My mother was not, and we spent all day Saturdays cleaning. And so looking at myself, I realized on that New Year's Day that I was, I was not kind to myself, and I had never established a habit. So that's what I set out to do, and I picked one habit to start with.
Okay, and how long did you stick with that habit before you moved to the next one?
It was 1 month. I gave myself a grace period because psychologists tell us it takes 21 days to establish a habit. Well, they tell a big fib. We really, with our perfectionism, when we mess up, we throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, oh, I can't do this, and we beat ourselves up. What I want to do is teach people that it's okay to miss a day, but you jump back in where you are and give ourselves 10 days grace period and go to 31 days to establish a habit, and then go on to the next thing, and then when you get that habit established, you string it on to the previous habit, you know, as you're doing it, shining your sink, getting dressed to lace up shoes, decluttering every day. All of these things were habits that I developed the first year.
Okay. One of my favorites is one that you just mentioned, and that is putting on your shoes and being fully dressed. And that is a huge one for me because I find that if I'm in my, even if I'm working at my desk, if I'm in my slippers and, you know, my shorts or whatever, I have a tendency to be a little more relaxed and not quite as getting things done. And then I'll go check Facebook and do some other things. So I completely, that is probably one of my favorite takeaways from your site.
Shoes tell our head it's time to get up and do something. And we're ready if we have our shoes on to run out the door and catch the baby before it hits the street, you know. So,
right.
It's about being prepared. If you get a phone call from a friend that needs you or wants to go to lunch, you're dressed. All you have to do is walk out the door with your purse and keys, and if they're in your launch pad, you're not searching to get out the door.
Okay, you just mentioned launch pad. I know what that is, but for those people who are on the call who will be listening to this who are not familiar, what is a launch pad?
Well, a launch pad is what we do in the evening. We do our most important routine of the day is our before bed routine, and we need to check our calendar and see what's on the agenda for tomorrow. Are we going on a field trip with the kids? Do we have a doctor's appointment and we need to fast after midnight? You know, it's just, there's lots of things looking at that calendar is going to tell you. And then you start putting the things together you've got to have. If the kids need, it's going to rain, you check your weather and you start putting these things in a spot that you've predetermined. A lot of people like to put hooks on a wall so they can hang backpacks on it for the kids if they're going to public school. I saw hooks on a wall that I put their shoes on the other day that I thought was great, just hanging hooks down low to hang their shoes on if kids have to take their shoes off when they come in the house, which I think everybody should keep their shoes on so everybody's ready to go and they're not hunting for their shoes. So that's what the launch pad is putting things where you can find them so you're not searching. You know, that search time in the morning and the anger that comes with looking for the pairs of shoes or socks or whatever it is, it's irritating. And then getting to school and you not have your lunch or not have your lunch for a field trip, it's not fun to not be the mommy that has thought of everything. And you can't think of it in the morning, so we do it the night before with our before bed routine, and it prepares us.
One of the things I think that I had to add into that is like before Sunday church especially, is all of us trying on our clothes before we go, because inevitably you go to put on the shirt and it's got a stain and that throws your whole morning off. Or one of the kids puts on a dress they haven't on in a couple weeks and all of a sudden they've grown 3 inches and it's way too short. So.
Yeah, that's irritating, especially, you know, you're in an irritable mood and you go to church. I mean, that's not fun. You've got to ask for forgiveness at that point.
I know. I wonder how many moms, if you took a poll on Sunday morning, how many moms have to ask for forgiveness on Sunday morning.
That would be, I mean, it was always a burden to get 4 girls ready to go to church, and we were always late, which I couldn't stand being late, coming into church late. And it was just, it made me anxious when I was a child being late for church because we had to hunt for mother's high heels or something because nobody picked their clothes out. And it just irritated the heck out of me. So I try to do better about that. Picking your clothes out, like we're getting ready to go on a trip in a couple of weeks. And Michelle has already laid out the clothes that I'm going to wear on stage. We have specific uniforms, and we're ready to go. Suitcases are practically packed, and we're not going to have a whole lot to do to get ready. When you pick out your clothes the night before, it makes getting dressed in the morning so easy. And some people don't like to get dressed until after breakfast. Well, take one of those old stained T-shirts that mom and dad can't wear anymore and put it over the kids, over their clothes, so it's like wearing a bib.
And oh, that's a good idea.
They're not going to mess up their clothes. The clothes are picked out. And another thing to do would be to, as you're doing the laundry, put the outfits together. Not shirts, shorts, pants. Put the whole outfits together.
That, you know, I'm so guilty of that because we have a shorts drawer and we have a pants drawer and we have a,
have a tomorrow drawer.
That's a great idea. Oh, I'm so writing that down, a tomorrow drawer.
A tomorrow. This came from one of the kids who had a tomorrow drawer in her bedroom. And in her tomorrow drawer was the clothes she was going to wear, the whole thing, everything, down to socks and hair bows.
Oh, that is so excellent. That is an excellent takeaway. One of the things you just mentioned was being late and how you hate to be late. I have to admit to you, that's my area that I probably need to spend the first 30 days working on. What are some tips that you would say, besides having your launch pad ready, what are some other tips that you would say can help this? My biggest issue is I have, I'm not a reality person, I guess, because one time I might have made it to church in 23 minutes because I hit every light and there was no traffic, and so I've somehow cemented in my brain I can hit that every single time when in reality it literally takes 33 minutes. So what are some tips that you would give us to for trying to be on time?
Well, if you're going to church, you've learned about grace. Let's be nice to ourselves and give ourselves a grace period. It's better to be early and be able to socialize with friends and family than to be late and the anxiety and stress levels that causes your hair to fall out. You know, let's factor in, let's get up 15 minutes and get ourselves dressed before the flow of the family. Then you can help your family get dressed. Factoring in that 15 minutes decide what time you need to leave. If it takes you 33 minutes, start out 45 minutes before. That's going to give you 10 minutes or so, 12 minutes.
Okay.
Even just go to the nearest hour and start out an hour ahead. That gives you time. If you have a flat tire, you can change it. You even have time to wait for AAA to get there. But you factored in the time. And the reason we rush the way we do is because we stay up too late. And when you stay up too late, you don't want to get your bottom out of bed in the morning. You want one more segment of five, one more hunker in time. And what happens is then you push yourself and you're rushing. And you know what? You never get anywhere on time when you're rushing. Even if you're rushing to get there, that's when accidents happen and babies get killed and mommies and daddies get killed.
Mm.
So stop rushing.
If we will
stop ourselves from rushing, we will save a lot of accidents. I mean, you know, when you fall down the stairs at home, you're rushing. When you stump a toe, you were rushing. You can factor every accident in to practically rushing.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good word too. What is the most common question you get asked everywhere you go, on by email, by Facebook? What is the most common, or some of the most common questions that you get asked?
How do you get started?
That's on my list.
Where do you start? And I say started, you got to start somewhere. So I started with my kitchen sink, shining my kitchen sink. And I don't care if you get obsessive about it. It doesn't matter. But if you keep that sink clean and shiny for a whole month, you're going to empty your dishwasher because you need a place to put those dirty dishes because you're not going to put it in the sink. Your counters will get cleaned because when you have a sink that is that beautiful, you have to have clean counters. You're going to start decluttering your kitchen of the things that look awful sitting out on the counter. And, you know, your stove is going to get clean too because, wow, that sink is just breathtaking. And before the end of the month, your whole kitchen is gleaming and you don't even mind going in there and cooking because it's a joy to walk in your kitchen and not be behind the eight ball.
Absolutely. And what would you say the second question you get asked the most is?
Why do you send out so many emails?
Ah, okay.
And the answer to that is we do something different from anybody else on the Internet. We do behavior modification with emails, and it's free to join. And it takes a team of people to help me. The emails are behavior modification. The essays are attitude adjusting. There's an Ask Fly Lady question. There's a testimonial about how the system has worked for the different types of people that join us, you know, young mothers, retirees, mothers of teenage children, work at home moms, work outside the home moms. You know, there's just a random sampling of the world in our list. And so we send testimonials out that are reactions to how people have adapted the system to fit their families. And it may help somebody else in some form or fashion. And those get in your head because what you've got rattling around in your head are the perfectionists in your life that have been negative with you, and your whole persona is wrapped around beating yourself up with this negativity. So it's important for us to get in your head so that you're not hearing those negative words. Well, why didn't you do that right? If you can't do it right, don't do it at all. Well, that's perfectionism. And when we stop that, we can get some progress in our homes.
I have, sitting on my desk, I have a little post-it note that says, strive for progress, not for perfection. Because I have a tendency to say, well, if I can't get it done correctly, if I can't get my garage clean today completely, then I'm just not going to do it at all. And
go throw three things away.
That's, yeah, I have a date with my children today to help me to go clean the garage after we're done with this. But speaking of that, I have one of the things that this is my big hotspot, as you say, on your website. And that is, I have a bonus room that is unfinished, and it started as we put stuff in there when we moved in the house 9 years ago, and then the babies grew out of clothes, and we put them in there until they got sorted, until the next one came along, and then my mother-in-law moved in, so we put guest stuff in there, and little by little, it's just become this just huge disaster. I would be mortified if people actually walked in there and saw it. And I go in to clean it, and I open the door and just get overwhelmed and shut the door. So, again, what would you say is the best way to conquer a hot spot like that? Because I know I'm not the only one that has one.
Well, let's call it what it really is. It's your storage room, and the square footage, you bought the house because it had this bonus room, this extra square footage, and you've just used it for trash.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Let's be honest with what it is. Most of the stuff that's in there is stuff that needs to be given away or thrown away. And
correct.
You couldn't make a decision with it. You have clothes in there for children that haven't even been conceived yet. You invented that. So that child deserves their own clothes because, good Lord knows, babies can ruin clothes with formula and breast milk and baby food, and you can't wash it enough to get it clean. So let's bless someone else with some of the stuff that's in there. Get it out of the way, even if you have to rent a dumpster.
I've thought about that.
And if you live in an area where they have waste management, you can buy this device at Lowe's for a price, and it opens up into a big a portable dumpster that's canvas.
Really?
Yeah, and it'll hold a ton of stuff.
Well, probably most of it. I mean, because there's some great stuff in there that just needs to go to Goodwill, because there's great clothes that don't have stains on them that just need to go. But, yes, it does need to be done.
Well, sometimes there are swap meets where you can just take all the clothes and donate them to the swap meet for parents that don't have a lot of resources, and you can bless others. We hold on to things like that because we think we might need it one day, and we hadn't found the right person to give it to yet, or your sister hadn't had that baby. That's what happened with my daughter-in-law. She was saving things for her sister to have a baby, and her sister didn't have a baby. And so all this stuff is in the garage. Well, this weekend, Justin cleaned out the garage and made room for their new kayaks. You know, that's, you talk about cleaning your garage. Well, when you tell a kid they got to clean, that sounds like a chore. Well, make room for some fun stuff to go on in the garage. Don't call it cleaning. Let's go on a scavenger hunt for things to get rid of.
Oh, that's a good idea to make it fun.
Make it fun, and you just don't let them get into any chemicals. But
Most of that's up. We just have, like, right in the middle is a zone of toys and stuff that needs to be just put back where it belongs. So,
or bless someone else if they're, you know, every season you need to go through the toys and get the toys out of the house that are not age appropriate.
We probably don't do that enough. And again, it's the same thing where we just have, that's why I ended back up on your site, because I've let it go. Because I used to spend, you're going to maybe laugh at this, I don't know, but before I had children, I used to spend every Monday for probably 10 hours a day. Not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. I had OCD, I think. But I spent 10 hours cleaning my house from top to bottom, a 1,500 square foot home, 10 hours every single Monday. I look back now and think of all the wasted time. I could have been doing something really super productive.
Well, it was super productive for you at the time because that's the way you were taught.
Yes.
And you don't have to clean house that way. You can do a little every day and keep it maintained. The detailed cleaning list is like never having to spring clean again. You can get through this list in about 3 months' time. And your whole house will, per zones, do this detailed cleaning. We do weekly home blessing hour, 1 hour to bless your home, not 10 hours.
I love, that's another thing I have on my list to talk to you about. I love the fact that you call it blessing your home, because as women, we often don't see it as blessing our home. We see it as drudgery. Oh my gosh, I have to go clean the house. And in reality, you know, our husbands, our families are blessed when they come home to, you know, a house that's put in order. And I'm not even saying clean, you know, necessarily by scrubbing and making the floor shine. I'm just saying that it's uncluttered and visibly looks nice. And I think they're all blessed by that, and it gives everybody a sense of calm and order.
Well,
when we do that. So I love that.
Floors can be that clean if you'll put a little shaving cream and baby shampoo down on the floor with a cup of water and give the kids some old dish towels.
Baby shampoo and what did you say? Baby shampoo and shaving cream?
Yeah, you can shaving cream or baby shampoo, or make shaving cream, baby shampoo into shaving cream in your blender, and just pour it out on the floor with some soap and, you know, with the water and old dish towels and their bathing suits, and you'll have the cleanest floor you've ever seen.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, and it's not, it's not a chore unless you get all antsy and, you know, irritated by it. But the kids are down to the floor. They're slipping and sliding, having the best time, and you'll have the cleanest floor you've ever seen.
That's fun. So on another one of the things that I love on your website, and this is I probably need to start this immediately in my bonus room, is the 27 Fling Boogie. Can you talk about that and tell us what that is?
Well, a 27 Fling Boogie is something I learned from Susie Orman. She did something with going and gathering up 25 things. Well, at the time when I was trying to get organized, we had a house full of clutter. When Robert and I got married, I had a house full of clutter. He had a house full of clutter, and we put our clutter together, and you couldn't walk in our house. And then we went to estate auctions and bought more. And it was paths. I mean, you didn't get up in the middle of the night to go pee because you were scared to death you were going to trip over something. Our house is much better now. We did have to rent a dumpster to help get rid of things, and they knew me by name at the thrift store where I donated stuff. You have to get rid of this clutter, and it's just kind of fun for us. When we do a 27 Fling Boogie, it's a game. And when we make decluttering into a game, we will do it. So Susie did 25 things. I was also reading a book on feng shui at the time, 101 Ways to Feng Shui Your Home. I didn't know what it was. I didn't care what it was. But it was just a cute little book that somebody had handed me, and I was reading both books at the same time. And so I thought, I read in the feng shui book, when you move 9 things in your home, you change the energy, the flow of energy. And you know yourself, when your house is cluttered up, your dining room table is full of clutter, your coffee tables are full of clutter, you can't breathe.
Right.
And when you clear off these flat surfaces, all of a sudden you feel lighter. And it's not, we don't know why. I don't know. I don't really understand feng shui, but it is the flow of things in your home, the flow of energy. And we can feel it. We don't know it, but we still feel it. And I don't care what name you call it. You know, if the room has a good aura, I don't even know what that is, but, you know immediately if you feel good in a room. And when it's cluttered, you don't. So knowing that feeling, the 27 Fling Boogie, you run through the house and gather up 27 things to throw away. It can be pieces of paper. It can be toys. And then go through the house and gather up 27 things to give away.
Excellent. I heard somebody talk about taking the, if you're still using the plastic bags from the grocery store instead of the cloth bags, to collect 30 of those and start at the beginning of the month and do fill 30 of those over the course of a month. So if you took your 27 Fling Boogie and filled up 30 of those over the course of a month, then I think you'd be doing great.
Yeah. That would be wonderful. We have had people for Lent do 40 bags in 40 days.
I'm just adding here, 27 times 40 is 1,000 things that you'd get rid of in a month.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, getting 1,000 things out of your house, I mean, I can do a 27 Fling Boogie just in a drunk door usually.
Yeah, probably.
You get particular about it. So it, once you get the clutter gone, when you bring a bag home from the department store, wherever you've been, and you've bought a new pair of shoes, get rid of two pairs of shoes.
So bring in one, get rid of two.
Yeah, when you're in the decluttering mode. My husband does that to make room in his closet because he's only got so much room. And we share a closet, but I have another closet, and I have a closet at the office. So he only has that one spot. And so if he gets a new pair of shoes, he takes his old pair of shoes and graduates them to being yard shoes, and he gets rid of the oldest pair.
Wow, that's a good idea. What about I asked a few friends some what questions they would ask you before we came on, and my friend Sarah said she's in a small apartment with two kids. What are ideas that work for small spaces when both of the parents work from home?
Well, you've got to get rid of the clutter. You cannot have any clutter. Michelle and I one time went to Brooklyn, New York, and went into this home of a young family. They had a baby was on the way, but they had they were both professors, and they had their living room was four walls of books. Four walls of books, and it was an 800 square foot apartment. I mean, yes, they love their books, but they couldn't even hardly walk into their kitchen because they had so many books everywhere. I was so claustrophobic in that one room. I'm sitting here watching Michelle, and she remembers it too. It was hard on us to walk into there, and they're getting ready for a baby. But you've got to get rid of the clutter, and you've got to confine the clutter. You've got to confine the stuff you use in your office. That's why we have an office in a bag, so that you can put the essential things there handy. So sometimes you maybe even need to get out of the house to work.
So what all is in your office in a bag?
Well, it is a notebook cover. So we all have three-ring binders in our homes. Take one of those that's about a one-inch thick one. And it's a sleeve that you put this binder in that zips up that will hold. I love when school starts and they've got all these little tiny staplers and staple removers and scotch tape and all the office supplies that are minis. It's so much fun because there's a pocket for that. You can put a calculator in there, your checkbook in there, everything you need to be able to sit and write thank you notes or pay bills or even, you know, you could keep some graph paper in there to do placement of furniture in your home if you wanted to play with some of that. Stuff that you just walk out the door or you're waiting in soccer practice and you can take your office with you.
That's a great – I'm in direct sales also, and so that's a great idea to have something like that, you know, to be able – if you've got a half an hour wait for your kids that you can sit in the car and do your work.
Oh, it's a wonderful way to save time. I started it when I was waiting for football practice to be over when my son was little and his father was a football coach. So I would sit and I would do my menu planning. I would write thank you notes. I would address Christmas cards and greeting cards and birthday cards because I kept a supply of them in the office in a bag. My original ones was that I built was several. Well, my son's 40, so I went to work when he was four. So that made it so much easier to have all that stuff with me in one place.
Awesome. That's a great idea. My friend Debbie would like to know, how do you stay organized when you are in the middle of moving?
Well, you pack up the things you don't need at first. And we have a lot of moving tips on our website. Just search for moving tips. If you have my book, Sync Reflections, there's a whole section on moving in that book. The beauty of it is pack up the stuff you don't use right now and don't move clutter. Don't move something that you don't love. If you can't imagine it in your new home, don't take it with you. Put it out on the curb and bless someone else with it. Put free on it. A lot of things can leave the house pretty quick if you just put a free sign on it. And don't move. If you're having to pay by the pound, you don't want to move trash.
Yep. And we have, I live in a military area, so they have a lot of, we have a lot of people who are moving all the time.
Yeah, and May is the time for military families to change position. They're moving on up to another level or going, you know, they're getting reassigned someplace, and May and June is when they do it.
Absolutely. So you also talk a little bit on your website about zones and creating the zones of your home, and you have some tips for each one of those zones. What do you do that by month? Is that how you have it organized on your website?
Well, the zones are, there's five zones in a month.
Okay.
And zone one starts on May 1st.
Okay.
Starts on the first day of the month, and it goes until Saturday. The next zone starts on Sunday and goes until Saturday. So just look at a calendar and how the month lines up. Sometimes we only have four zones in a month, and we'll piggyback zone one and zone four and five together if we have to, if it lines up perfectly where there's only 4 weeks in a month. But for the most part, when you look at a month, it's got, it's on five different parts of a week. Zone one and zone five can be shorter days, but zone two, three, and four are full weeks because the good Lord knows we need a full week in the kitchen.
Absolutely. And all that is, if they subscribe to your website at flylady.net, all of those are on the website, and then you also put those in the newsletter.
Well, you get to the website is free. You're not subscribing to the website. You're subscribing to our email list.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah,
sorry.
So, and then those are all free. We're working on an app, which we hope to have in the next few months, but right now, all we've got is email and Twitter and Facebook. We have a Facebook page that is facebook.com/TheFlyLady. And then we have Twitter. We have our reminders. We have two Twitter, and they're at the bottom of our email, bottom of our website. One Twitter feed is just for the reminders. You know, where's your laundry? What's for dinner? Have you had any water today? Have you eaten your lunch? It's 24 reminders that come out throughout the day that are supposed to trigger you to take care of yourself and to get things done in the house. And you can go subscribe to that Twitter feed and set up the notifications for your phone, and then you're going to have these reminders just popping up all day long to help you stay organized in your home and take care of yourself at the same time. Because some women get to dinner time and they don't know what's for dinner. They forgot to eat lunch, so they're scarfing up anything they can get their hands on because they haven't had any water either, and they're dehydrated and they're starving, and they're not taking care of themselves, and I want to put an end to that.
Absolutely. I think, and those are really, you know, great to know and to go through, and, you know, and you're right. Sometimes you do, especially as a mom, you know, you look down, it's 4 o'clock, and you're starving, and you don't have any idea what's for dinner, and you didn't eat lunch, and, you know, so, yeah, those little reminders are excellent. And the one last question that I have from the people who sent me questions was, what tricks, this is great, this is me too, what tricks do you have for following a routine when you might have a little bit of ADD?
Well, you use ADD to your advantage. I like to, you know, following routines, you got to have them in front of your face. And until they're ingrained in your body with the muscle memory that goes along with doing the routines, you got to remember to look at them. And you might have to tattoo them on your arm, you know, because especially if you got ADD. Write them on your bathroom mirror in a dry erase marker. Put them on a post-it note. I had post-it notes on my bathroom mirror for many years to remind me. I still have one on my bathroom door that tells me what to do with weekly home blessing, which one to do each day. So have it in front of your face, whether it's on your refrigerator, on your bathroom mirror. The bathroom's where we start every morning. You know, you have to get out of bed and you have to go potty. So that's where you are. And when you're looking at your routine in front of your face, and I had one lady who who always wrote on her bathroom mirror if she had something to do that the next morning as part of her before bed routine. She would say, doctor's appointment at 9 a.m. in the middle of her bathroom mirror.
With a dry erase marker. So she
with
was
a
just
dry erase marker.
That's a great idea, too.
So it's all about getting the routines in front of your face, establishing the habits one at a time, and not being harsh on yourself so that you can get these things done.
Absolutely. Those are all great ideas. Anything else that you would say that we need to know?
Well, I want to go back to the moving. I didn't quite get all that answered. How do you keep your routines in place while you're packing up to move? The main thing is you've got to get up and get dressed to lace up shoes. You have to feed yourself breakfast. You know, you have to make sure your bathroom's clean. You have to make sure that everything is picked up and then set aside, because we usually know 6 weeks ahead of time that we're moving, and you've got 6 weeks to pack up and be ready to go. And you just do your routines and then set aside a couple of hours, maybe an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, an hour in the evening to pack up in those 6 weeks that you know you're moving. And label the boxes so they're not all miscellaneous. Color code the rooms, which are wonderful. And put everything in an office in a bag and in a notebook, and number as you do a box and it's like the kids' room, say kid room number 2, and you're going to know that that's their favorite color, whatever you've picked out, and you number the box and you know what's in that box per your inventory. And if you're taking your time packing up, everything's not labeled miscellaneous, and you can find stuff if you have to. And then as you get the larger the box number is for that room, is the things that you look, they're the last boxes you're going to be packing up. So those are the first boxes that you're going to unpack, because those are the things you use all the time.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I never thought about numbering the boxes. That's a good idea.
Well, you number them in the order that you pack them, because you're packing them up by the things that you don't use often. And it makes unpacking so much easier. You know, the last kitchen box that you pack is going to have your coffee maker and some silverware and some dishes in it. And that's the first thing you're going to unpack, because you're going to have to order pizza when you're unpacking, and good Lord knows you're going to need coffee.
When I was moving, actually, we lived in a smaller apartment, and at the time I didn't have kids, so I didn't have a lot of stuff to pack. But one of the things we did to try and sell our condo was I went to the office supply store and bought the same uniform sized boxes that had the little lids and the handles on them, and I packed any extra towels and stuff that we weren't using that could make my closets look bigger. I packed in those and put in a storage unit, and because they were all uniform size, I could pack them very well into that storage unit, so that when we moved into our new house, we had all of our stuff, but the storage unit was kind of the last thing that we moved in. So that was good too.
Well, that's a great idea to make your house. A lot of people, once they declutter, they don't need to move.
Once they declutter, they don't need to move. We moved into a bigger house because we have a home office, and so we didn't have that in the other place. But now I would say we probably could downsize easily, knowing, you know, what I know. I don't think we need this much space.
And it's just more stuff to heat and cool, and people are going to tiny houses anyway. I don't think I could live in a tiny house because I get claustrophobia, but... Yeah, having a smaller footprint is not a bad idea.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say the other person that made a comment said that she just wanted me to thank you for all that you do. She's been watching your website for years, and she just really appreciates all the advice that you give. And she's out of the country, so she couldn't be on the call. But she wanted to say thank you so much, and we appreciate all that you do. I appreciate you being on the call today. And if anybody wants to join Marla on her website, it's flylady.net. And any last parting words from you, Marla?
Just don't let your perfectionism cause you to procrastinate. Because when we hear ourselves say, I don't have time, What we're really saying is, I don't have time to do it right. I'm not going to do anything. I want you to, when you hear yourself say, I don't have time, I want you to set your timer for 2 minutes and then make the peace sign right now with those, you know, hold up two fingers and know that that's 2 minutes toward peace.
That's a good idea. I have tea every morning, and it takes 3 minutes for me to heat the water, and it's amazing what you can get done in 3 minutes.
It's longer than you think.
It's a lot longer than you think. I can usually straighten up the kitchen pretty good in 3 minutes.
Well, it should be straightened up the night before.
You're right.
Before you go to bed, you should get up to a clean kitchen.
You're right. Well, thank you so much for calling in today. I really, really appreciate your time. And thank you for teaching us to bless our homes. And I know as an encouraging woman, that is something that encourages me, that we can bless other people by blessing our homes. So I really, really appreciate your time today.
We have a lot of free stuff on our website, free control journals for people who work at home for money. So there's an office control journal that's great for doing business and the other. So thank you for having me. I appreciate you asking me.
Thank you. I've downloaded a lot of your stuff. So I have a lot of saved forms that I print out and put into my family manager book. So I appreciate all the stuff that you offer. Definitely it blesses us too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.